This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Dolce Canto. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with three members of the group Dolce Canto. Welcome.
Thank you
for having us. Thanks, John.
Great to have you here. We're not going to just leave you out there as the three members. Let's go around the room and introduce yourselves maybe so folks can get used to your voices.
Okay. My name is Beth Mast, and I'm an alto in the group. And I sang with the group early on. And took a break, and now I've rejoined, so I'm really excited to be back as part of the ensemble.
And I'm Peter Park, the founding artistic director and current conductor of the ensemble.
I'm Tom Benson. I'm a tenor in the group, and I also sit on the board of directors.
Well, great to have you guys in the studio with us and talking shop here. I know that the group goes back to 2001. I was trying to think back to my own memory of how I first came to know of the ensemble. And I kind of remember whisperings of it sort of around Western Montana and Missoula in particular. And then all of a sudden it was there. And then all of a sudden it became like an institution. So I know it's never anything quite that easy. So maybe talk a little bit about how the ensemble first came together back in 2001.
You know, seven friends and myself, we were members of the Missoula Symphony Chorale, and we were sitting around talking one night after rehearsal and sort of lamenting the fact that we missed singing great a cappella music that we sang in high school, chamber music that we sang in high school and college, and thought it might be fun just to get together and read through some octavos that we fondly remembered. And so we set up a time to do that before one of the rehearsals and had a lot of fun doing it. I can't say that we started with a specific plan in mind or that we had a goal of becoming whatever it is that we are now, but it was just for fun. And I always tell people it's like a hobby that has gotten out of control, but in a good way.
I'm thinking back to an interview I did with the bluegrass group Pinegrass. And mentioned that they got together for like a picking circle, and then their worst fears were confirmed when it became a band.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's an interesting thing to talk about, is that transition from something that's more of an informal kind of get together, in as much as it can be with that kind of music, and the transition from that into what it is today, which is really top-notch vocal group.
Well, thanks for saying that. We've grown from the original seven members to an ensemble that's been as large as 32 people. And like you say, we've gained a reputation for excellence. it has always been our goal to make great music. You know, Missoula is blessed with a lot of wonderful musical opportunities for choral singers already. But we wanted to do something just a little bit different. We wanted to do it on an artistic level that would enhance our lives and hopefully those of our audience members.
It's been really nice for me. I mean, I was one of the original members where it was much more casual, just some friends getting around to have an evening of some music fun of music we enjoyed. And then the years that I was not involved, to watch it so rapidly grow into something that is an organized board of directors, good fundraising, an integral part of Missoula Arts, and also becoming nationally recognized by receiving grants from Chorus America for original compositions. So it's pretty impressive from a person who was in the original casual and then watched it blossom into something so much more.
My first hearing of the group was similar to yours, John, in which I heard mumblings out there that there's this choral group and they're pretty good, or they might be pretty good, and time went by, and eventually I thought I'd go check out a concert and was astonished at the level of musicianship of the folks in the group. And so from my perspective, and then have the opportunity to audition and then join the group, I was quite humbled, quite frankly, and it's a great musical opportunity.
Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I would my true love did so chance to see the legend of my play, to call my true love to my dancing.
The most recent recording is A Joyful Season, and we're going to be featuring music from that. This is your second recording. Let's talk a little bit about how A Joyful Season came together and how the group grew in the time in between the initial CD, your debut CD, because this is your second release. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about how the project came together and just how the group grew in that time.
Well, how the project came together, it's pretty much in response to requests from our fans. You know, every concert we would have people come up to us after our program and say, hey, you should do a Christmas CD. We'd love to hear this again, you know. And so we had been toying with it for several years, and we record all of our concerts. So in fact, on the album, there are three takes that are live from our concerts anyway. But we saw the potential to reach more people. I mean, even people who are not, you know, big fans of choral music may sit down and listen to Christmas or choral music at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we thought this might be a great way to touch some lives of people who aren't in our audience normally. Mm-hmm.
And talk about the group kind of growing in between and what that process was like.
Well, even since the beginning, I mean, it hasn't been without growing pains. I mean, just establishing a regular rehearsal schedule and trying to fix the number of people in the group and how do we audition, these are things that have had to happen. We've had to formalize all of these things since taking ourselves so seriously. It's been remarkable to see that we've drawn talented people who have made it very clear that their intention is aligned with ours, which is that of making excellent music. Mm-hmm. And excellence attracts excellence.
When selecting seasonal pieces, I mean, it seems like there's an endless list of tunes that you could bring in. And one of the things that I noticed from that is there are pieces that are very familiar to a lot of listeners, whether they are sacred or secular, but also a mix of tunes that are pieces that are maybe not as familiar.
The selections actually come from 4 or 5 seasons of holiday music that we and every season we choose a new repertoire. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot to choose from. And as you said, there's when you're talking seasonal music, particularly December seasonal music, as you know, there's quite a lot of, mm-hmm. of songs to choose from.
I was just going to say that in addition to Peter picking literature for the audience, he also takes into account picking literature for the choir. So in terms of the group itself growing and learning what piece is going to be challenging and still interesting for the audience. So it's also, I mean, it's not often that you think of the ensemble choosing the music for themselves, but there is an element of that in him selecting music for the group.
Well, I've always wanted it for it to be an immensely satisfying experience for the singers. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be. So I'm glad that they enjoy what they're doing. I think it's pretty clear that they enjoy what they're doing by what's demonstrated on the disc, yeah.
So what you're saying is there's no writers that are involved with taking out certain colored M&Ms in the backstage area for Dolce Canto?
Not yet.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm joined today by Dolce Canto. And we're talking about Music from a Joyful Season, their most recent recording. But I wanted to ask a couple of just more general questions about the group. Tom and Beth, I wanted to talk about what brought you to Dolce Canto. I know you've talked about this a little bit, but I know that Tom and I have talked a little bit about some of the challenges for singers to find the right avenues to be able to express themselves creatively, that those aren't always available, and to find the right ones. So maybe just talk a little bit about that, of not only how you came to the group, but how the group is able to satisfy that need for a creative outlet.
Well, you know, you go through your university years spending all of your time studying music and working in those ensembles to bring the levels of quality of performance up to a higher and higher level. And then when you graduate, unless you become a professional musician and you're doing it all the time, there are not that many avenues for a group at that level. So that's a huge attraction. Peter does an excellent job at choosing music for the group that really keeps your level growing. You keep being challenged. And yeah, that's an important thing for a musician who just now does it as a hobby.
Mm-hmm. But still wants that high level of performance.
Correct.
And high level of,
absolutely,
of creative outlet.
Right.
And I actually came at Dolce from a different angle. I didn't study music in college, but I liked to sing, and I've sung in a number of different groups, to some sometimes more intensely than others. This opportunity came, and it's been a wonderful experience. And it's really, as I said, when I first heard Dolce Canto, the attention to the minutia of every song in terms of the pronunciation and everybody breathing together and the dynamics being what they were, when the opportunity to be a part of that group, it's been a remarkable challenge. I've learned more than anything else the importance of listening is sometimes more important than actually what you're singing is listening to hear, because you have 30 voices and you don't really want to hear 30 voices. You want to hear one
sound.
Mm-hmm. And so you really need to listen to what the sound is and where you fit into that and where you can really contribute to it. Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, you studied at the street corner of Doo-Wop University.
Right.
And I say that not to just bring some humor, but also because it shows, you know, that the group members come from a diversity of backgrounds in terms of their training in different ways, both very legitimate, but to find a common place to be able to, to have vocal community, so to speak, and also to be able to create.
Yeah, you nailed it right there. That's one of the things that we have incorporated into our mission. That's exactly what we hope to achieve, bringing people together from diverse backgrounds to build that community. We have professional musicians, we've had music teachers, but we have non-trained singers as well, and everyone brings something special to that mix.
I wanted to ask about something that was under the missions and goals on the website for Dolce Canto. I like this. Maybe best of all, participating in local, regional, and international exchanges that build connections between people, encourage engaged citizenship, and promote goodwill. And I want you each to take a crack on what that means to you.
Well, I'll spin off, first of all, off something Beth said earlier, or maybe it was Tom, in terms of making music something that you can do, it was Beth, something you can do well beyond your college years. One thing we hope to do is to encourage young people to stick with music, not necessarily as a profession, but to keep it as part of their adult life, and helping them realize that music is actually a lifelong skill. So that's built into part of what you just mentioned.
I have always thought that Dolce Canto fits so well in the fabric of Missoula choral life with the International Choral Festival. Because of that event with Missoula, of course, Peter mentioned that he has so many contacts, and now we can bring Missoula out to the world. And Dolce Canto is planning an international tour to Korea in 2016. So that's a pretty special event for Missoula to be doing that.
Yeah. I think that when we're able to perform with other choirs of different ages, and then usually the tradition is at the end there's sort of a mass choir. Everybody gets up on stage together and to meet new people and to appreciate what they do and they appreciate what you do is a wonderful thing.
Oh,
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Beth Mast, Peter Park, and Tom Benson of the group Dolce Canto. I'm trying to remember how the joke goes. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, I guess. Is that the punchline? I was thinking it was a better joke, actually. So we got to talk about Carnegie Hall and what that was like to perform in arguably the most revered concert hall in the world.
It is a wonderful place to sing, and I have to say I've been there several times, and it never gets old. It's such a beautiful venue to sing in. So in 2013, we were invited to sing the New York premiere, the Carnegie Hall premiere of Carol Barnett's amazing piece, Mass for Choir and Bluegrass Band. The title is The World Beloved, a Bluegrass Mass. And we collaborated with the award-winning and nationally recognized bluegrass band Monroe Crossing. From Minneapolis, for whom the piece was actually jointly written. And it was such a pleasurable experience. We were able to bring the band to Missoula, actually, to premiere it here. And we have plans to bring them back in July of 15 to do an encore performance. It was such a remarkable experience for us. So Carnegie Hall is great.
And Tom, I know you grew up in the East, so that in the Eastern United States, I should say. Yeah. So talk about that.
It was a wonderful experience to sing in Carnegie Hall, having been there in the audience, but never on stage. It was a great experience. And as Peter said, we were able to perform that piece with a number of other choirs and the group Monroe Crossing. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks after the Carnegie Hall, they came to Missoula. So we warmed up in Carnegie Hall for the Missoula gig. It was a great experience.
Dolcecanto.info is the name of the website. I want to make sure the listeners catch the info part on the end of that. And Dolce Canto is DolceCanto. And that's where you can go to find out more information about the ensemble and what they're doing. The most recent recording is A Joyful Season. Thank you so much, Beth, Peter, and Tom, for coming in and being guests on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure talking to you all. And as I mentioned, the website, there's always stuff going on. You guys always have, as you mentioned, you know, coming up with another tour, another performance with the Bluegrass Group. Always creative projects going on. And so it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
We've been a while a wandering among the fields of green, and how we come a wassailing so plainly to be seen. For it is Christmas time, and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year. We sing the big sailors, they sing from dawn to dawn. We sing the nature's children, whom you have seen before. For it is Christmas time, and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Dolce Canto. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.